Oh, the primary is June 28th. Everything's going really, really well.
Nice.
We are grassroots all the way. You know, the message is resonant with all of our listeners and followers. Yeah. And I think people are tired of politics. They're sick of politicians.
Yeah.
And they would rather have statesmen and stateswomen in different roles. And I'm going in there just to honor God, protect the Constitution, and represent the people. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I have no agenda. It's not about me. I don't really want the job, but it has to be done. I'm called to do it.
Yep. Yep. Well, as Christians aren't in government, it's just going to go the way that it has. I mean, people who are in power, if they don't fall on their face before God, like every day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're going to get ourselves into the same position in the debacle that, I mean, we're in, and we can see it across the board with like the trans stuff, the COVID lockdowns coming back in. I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah.
Such a garbage dump right now, you know, and
you're
right. I mean, the separation of church and state issue is just so bad in the interpretation. It was never intended to keep the church out of government. It was intended to get the government out of church.
Yeah.
And just, I can't for the life of me figure out why Christians as a whole have been so passive and such sissies. You know, they just didn't want to confront anything. And this is why we're in the world we're in right now, because the church stepped back instead of stepping up.
I know. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing. Like you said, so much of the problems we're seeing and things like the widows and the orphans, if the church were doing our part, we wouldn't see, you know, all the orphanages and things if we were actually taking care of them instead of the government coming in and taking care of everything, you know, that the church is supposed to do. And us as Christians, we're supposed to, you know, study God's creation and to see all the amazing things that he's given us to like fight things like diseases and like COVID and all this other stuff. And then, because like I said, a lot of it, we don't need vaccines and all this other big pharma stuff. We don't need it.
We are not born with vaccine deficiencies. I mean, that's true. And I don't understand why even today we're focused so much on the wrong things. Not that we want to be ignorant to what's going on, but we need to be focusing on instead, I believe, being the light of the darkened world, you know, being the light, you know, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. We are the light of the world. And if we're not the light, who's going to be the light? The darkness will win if the light does not be the light. And so, you know, I'm all about being aware of the darkness, but man, let's light it up and make darkness run.
I know. Yeah. Are you guys in your practice seeing a lot of people coming in? Like, have you guys seen a lot of people come in who've had the vaccine and are now like scared and trying to do things to help? Yeah.
A lot of people. Yeah. We've had both camps, obviously. I try to keep, you know, filtered out in the right direction with their thinking. Mm-hmm. The idea behind it, though, is that there's a lot of people out there now that have taken the vaccine and have sort of buyer's remorse. And they live in panic because they're told you're going to die. Again, the doctors that are saying that, even some of my colleagues are like, stop it. Stop it right now. No, that's wrong. You don't do that to people, right? You give them hope. And then there's people out there that are worried about someone shedding or not. I don't care, because honestly, did Jesus care about the leper shedding? I mean, no, he didn't care. He wasn't focused on that, you know. And then I look at people that are that didn't take the vaccine, that look down on people that did. I mean, we got to just figure out, people are going to decide what they're going to do anyway. I want them to know Jesus and know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's really all that matters to me at this point. And I don't believe people are going to die one day quicker than they're supposed to, unless they intentionally try to. And some people do, and you still can't stop them.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's telling people hope. The ones who've had the vaccine, it's like, okay, you've taken it. But there's so many things I've been hearing people talk about, things that help, you know, people with the adverse effects and like detoxing your body from the spike proteins. And there's so many things. So it's like, that's why we need to be telling people like, hey, if you've had it, it's okay. Don't take any more like boosters, but like, here are the things, you know, that you can do to help detox your body and shed it of like all those spike proteins and all that bad metal stuff that we don't want.
Yeah, and there's a scripture that I've used a lot. It's in Mark chapter 16, and I'll read it here for you. It's really a good scripture, and it's something that I've given out, man, a lot, a lot.
Yeah.
So here it is. It's towards the end. And here it is. It's in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And that, for people that have taken the vaccine, they will drink deadly poison and it will not harm them. I just have to go right there and say, leave it alone. What you've done, you've done. You did, you did. And let God do what he does.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's like, that's why spreading that message of hope and stuff, because that's what people need right now. There's so much, you know, fear and everybody mm-hmm. freaking out, like, you know, oh, is there going to be a new nuclear war? Is there going to be another Cold War? I mean, and I watch the news just to see what they're saying and stuff. And a lot of, like, it's pretty much all propaganda on there. I kind of just watch it. I'm like, what are you people talking about? But, and the stuff. And I mean, everybody's scared and they stuff. And like I said, now with COVID lockdowns, Dr. Fallacy trying to come out and say, oh, be ready for new lockdowns. And I'm like, I don't think the American people or the people of the world are going to have it this time around. I think they're going to have a lot more pushback.
I'm going to start calling him Dr. Foolasol, because that's what it is. I mean, he has communicated nothing but fear. And I go back, and he should have been terminated by President Trump a long time ago. That was a bad response.
Yeah.
I don't care who's in charge. That's a bad response. It's still coming back to haunt us right now.
I know, because he doesn't know anything. He doesn't really know anything except how to hurt people. I mean, now that stuff comes out with the labs and all, and what he's doing to these poor little animals. And I mean, I know they're just animals, but I'm like, this is awful. What he's doing to these, like, poor little beagles and Reese's monkeys. I'm like, you're a monster. Like, really?
He is a monster. And even I go back to the Operation Warp Speed. What kind of nonsense was that?
Yeah.
You know, like, let's speed up a vaccine and not test it. And let's give an emergency clearance on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Look what's happening. It's a perpetual domino effect of just nonsensical, fear-based stuff. And anytime you make decisions in fear, it's always going to result in foolish behavior.
Exactly. Because your critical thinking part of the brain, we know that it shuts down whenever the fear comes in. It shuts down the critical thinking part. And then you can't actually think, wait a second, time out. We need to take a step back here. Is this actually the right thing to do? But the deep state people, the satanic Luciferians, they knew this from the beginning, which is why they perpetuated the fear,
because
they knew they could keep people in there. They wouldn't think. Yep.
That's right. And, you know, we're the Christians today. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm looking, I mean, I'm seeing a remnant sort of rise up and I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm also seeing probably what never was part of the church be identified. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge, because you're like, wow, you know, it's shocking, some of that.
I know. But
it is what it is. So here we are, you know, at this point in time, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, right?
I know. It's just so sad that so many Christians have fallen prey to, like, particularly the COVID stuff. Cause I remember even ones like Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, then these ones out here who are leaders, quote unquote, in the Christian community. And they're saying, it's your Christian obligation to get the vaccine. And I'm like, where do you get that from, the Bible? I'm like, can you quote a passage of scripture, please, that says I'm supposed to take a vaccine or something to help other people? It's like, I don't remember that one.
No, we got pastors that don't know the Bible and don't know God.
Exactly.
We got politicians that don't know God and don't know the Constitution. I don't know how much more clear it can be at this point. We need people in both positions that are going to learn to be leaders, servant leaders, and shepherds once again. And I tell you, that's the reason I'm where I am today and doing what I'm doing, because of that very thing. We have a need there that's not being done.
I know. And then now with the Ukraine stuff, it's like all the churches saying, stand with Ukraine, pray with you, like, pray for Ukraine and stuff. And I'm like, I get that, but they're not even caring about the people in their own communities. Yeah. And neighborhoods. And like I said, all the drugs coming across the border, the fentanyl, we know all that's linked to the deep state. And I mean, spring break, I saw that on the news, all these overdoses of fentanyl because these people, they're taking the drugs. They think they don't know what's in it. And it's purposeful. We know that. But across the board, and I mean, drug or like opioids, just everything is on the rise. And as the church, we're supposed to care about those people and help share with them the gospel, you know, because that's the reason they're taking drugs, a lot of them, because they're trying to fill that void. But they can say, stand with Ukraine, all this other stuff, but they're not actually, as a church, we haven't cared about the people right at our doorsteps and like right around our communities.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was asked the question probably a week or so ago on my campaign website. I've got this one issue is called Oklahoma First Politics. And like, what is that? Well, I was explaining to them that, you know, President Trump brought to the table this idea of America First. But you really can't get a view or a concept of America First until you look in your backyard and get a view and concept of that. So in other words, you can't take care of something else unless you've taken care of what's in your backyard. So what you said is very, very wise and very accurate.
Yes. Well, 23, I try.
Yeah, no, that's really good, Hannah. That's smart. That's good wisdom at this point, I'm telling you.
Well, we need more. Yeah, particularly my generation. I'm like trying to wake some of them up. So I'm like, come on, guys, they've got the fire and the passion. They just need to get their noggin to work a little bit more. More and get some of those gears going.
Just need a little bit of leadership like you. There you go.
Yes. Yeah. With your, have you guys done like early polling numbers on your campaign? Are you like looking pretty good on the numbers there? Or have you done any like polling or anything?
There's no polls. We won't be included in any polls because we are anti-establishment. They will not, they will not even acknowledge our candidacy. Yeah. There is no acknowledgement of it whatsoever. And, I suppose one respect is like, well, that's bad. The other respect is, you know, I can't control that at all. You know, what they've done with us is they had this. So a little bit of a brief, interesting history. So in the Republican side of this, we have a bunch of rhinos. Right. And then so what you have is you have an incumbent governor who appointed a director of education. Okay. The director of education was Republican. She decides that she doesn't like him anymore. So she switches from Republican to Democrat and decides to run for governor. Well, then that creates this made in TV drama within the executive branch and cabinet. And so here I am sitting over here doing my thing. What in my campaign, being me, and you start to see these people drift out of the Republican primary and drift over to independent or whatever else. And, you know, and so now it's just me and one other person in the incumbent. That's all that's left. So like last man standing. So the media has, they won't do any polls. They've already put out there the story of which one do you want? Do you want the Republican turn Democrat? Or you, I mean, they've kind of sort of set the narrative and I'm fighting against that. But ultimately, I wouldn't want anything to occur unless God did it. So I just do my thing and be me and don't worry about it at all. You know, I'm already elected by God and that's what matters.
Amen. You know? Well, and if God, well, like I said, you become governor, God's going to turn the hearts of whoever he needs to. And it's like, You will become governor if it's in his plan. It's like you will become governor and nothing these Luciferian, satanic, deep state people can do.
Nothing they can do about it. Nothing they can do about it. And I honestly don't worry about it. I mean, nobody, you know, it doesn't matter what contest you're in.
Yeah.
Or what you want to win. I mean, my goodness, you got the human nature that wants to be picked. You want to win. But ultimately, my job was to be like Moses. Listen to me, follow the call and let God do the things that he does. Like Abraham, go, you know, like David, step up, dude. You know, like Daniel, don't be afraid. You know, that's kind of the anointing that is on my life to step up and be obedient and to rally the troops. Now, I have seen that rallying cry resonate around the state, and people are drawn to that by the thousands. It's really cool to see, you know. At the same time, What I didn't expect, but a blessing, is it has inspired other people from down ballot positions to decide to jump in the races. So now we've got all these kind of like Oklahoma first candidates that are sort of marching across the state. And that's been humbling and cool, you know, say, hey, you've inspired me. I'm like, awesome. And so, you know, there's been a lot of blessings already occur.
Well, that's awesome. The more the merrier. It's like, particularly with, I mean, have you guys had to, with your legislators and stuff, the CRT or the trans issues, have those been coming up a lot in your, I'm guessing, I know that's across the board, particularly with all this trans stuff. And then now that bill down in Florida, which the liberals are calling it Don't Say Gay, that's actually not even in there. But, and then Disney, who like people take their children to Disney and like them saying, we no longer say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we say hello, everyone. And I'm like,
no, I think it is coming up. It's been a discussion topic. Yeah. I have had a couple of people. I do these virtual town halls that are very popular, or even live town halls, but you can reach more people if you do live and virtual. So I've done both. Yeah. But it's interesting. Two people I know that I've had on my town hall, Dr. Everett Piper and Dr. James Taylor, are both doctors of education. So they've been in the trenches. One's a former university president. One's a former, he's still a teacher. But they'll tell you that it's CRT by another name. They'll use like social emotional learning. They'll talk about, you know, like if someone doesn't feel like it, it's okay. In one small town school in middle school, there was an occurrence recently in Oklahoma, Stillwater, Oklahoma, to be specific, where a young boy who thinks he's a girl walked in the girls' restroom with a teacher in there, a female teacher. Mm-hmm. Now, a big fit came, but the school did nothing. The school has still a bathroom over here that says, I don't know what you are, bathroom. Right. And so what my point about that is God is grieved and saddened by that. There are two pronouns, men and women. When men are trying to be women, and this is what you're seeing. You're not seeing women try to be men. I hope, Hannah, people hear this. This is important because you're not seeing women go and sew things on. You're seeing men cut things off. Yeah. And that's a major grievous thing. And it's disrespectful to every single lady out there. It's disrespectful to womanhood. It's disrespectful to motherhood. It's disrespectful to God. And it's disrespectful to manhood. And so it's not okay anymore. And I stand up against that with an unapologetic stance. God did not create 47 pronouns. He created two. And we need to really understand that. And it's so sad to me. And part of that is the degradation of the family.
Yes.
Right? Fatherhood is not there. Manhood is not there. The degradation of our society. You know, this is not what I'm getting ready to say is not sexist at all. It's actually honoring women. The men should go out there and work their butt off, provide, protect. Yeah. And even Will Smith, right, is getting brutalized for slapping, you know, the guy on the stage, Kevin Hart. Is that right?
Chris Rock. Yeah.
Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Slapped him on the stage.
Yeah.
Right. And so he is defending his wife. And I get it. Maybe it wasn't the best thing to do, but if he was defending his wife, good on him. I'd rather him do that than be passive about letting somebody make fun of his wife. I defend my wife to the death because that's part of me. Yeah. And so I'm hoping that was his point behind that. And if it was, I don't know why he's getting so critical. Chris Rock should be apologetic.
Well, they think his wife can stand up for herself. She doesn't need a man to protect her.
Well, that's a sexist thing to say for people like that, because look, and I'll say what everybody's thinking, because I don't have any, agenda. So for the ladies out there, and this is for people that are listening right now. I mean, like if you're looking for a man and you want to fall in love with a man, this kind of man is going to be irresistible to you. Now, listen, this is going to be a man that's going to go to work every day, work hard for you, work to the bitter bone for you. He's going to serve you, treat you like a queen, treat you like a lady, open the door for you. He's going to serve you. He's not going to dominate you with his way or the highway. It's going to be a servant leadership. It's going to be loving you like Christ. And that man will become irresistible to you. And you will do anything for that man. You will fight to the death for that man. You will give your life for that man. And that man will do the same because the two become one. And that's the kind of people we need. And for the life of me, that has been distorted. And I blame that on, well, men, quite honestly, because men haven't been men. And Hannah, when men aren't men, women are forced into roles that they have to do. And not maybe because they want to, they have to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't fault them for that at all. I mean, I'm in my office here most days, you know, when I'm not out and about, and ladies come in here and they lead the way physically and spiritually in the home. And I watch the men sit over here like, you know, like this. I'm thinking, you're not a man. I chastise them here. I get after them because you come in my office, you're going to get truth. That's what you pay for. If you don't like it, you can leave. And that's fine. But the point is, we need to get it back. And men need to be challenged. Women need to be challenged. And we need to get this thing right, because that's the key value system to winning back, retaining and regaining perhaps our republic and our family value system.
Amen. That perfectly said. Yeah. That's why a lot of this trans stuff is happening. And even like you said, for a long time, men haven't been men. I've seen it growing up watching TV. The parents look like the dumb buckets, particularly the dads. They, like I said, Disney, Nickelodeon, the movies, the dads are the sissies. I actually was just watching one of these little kitty videos with my niece. She's two now, on Cocomelon. And there was this one little video about like getting an owie. It's like a cartoon. And it was cute up until the mom is singing this song to these little kids. And then the dad is outside working. He hits his neck. He hits his thumb with a hammer. And then he starts bouncing back and forth like, oh, that's so hard. And then he comes in and says like, honey, honey, owie, ow, make my boo-boo better now. And I'm like, yeah, that's the dad. And I'm like, this is the man you want protecting you and your family. I saw it. And literally, I kind of wanted to just pick up the TV and throw it out the window whenever I saw that, because it made me so mad and stuff. And obviously, whenever she comes in, I'm like, we're not watching this channel anymore.
Look at the military today.
Yeah.
You know, the military is the classic example. I mean, you can't even find men that can fit in their uniforms. And you can't find men that are fit enough to pass the initial physical ability.
So they're having to lower it. I know.
Yeah. And that's not okay. I mean, you know, we've lowered standards so much. We've lowered it in military. We've lowered it in education. We've lowered it in life. We've lowered it in spirituality. We've lowered it in health. Emotional, we've lowered it. There's no, you know, my wife and I, you know us personally. I mean, we get looked at as freaks and weirdos a lot. I mean, we'll show up at the Reawaken Tour sometimes. No kidding. And, you know, people will be covering their food and, oh, there's the Sherwoods. I'm like, come on, really? I mean, I didn't, you get my point. It's like, why is it weird to have standards?
Yeah.
It should be, we should all strive for those things. And I'm not going to lower them because I owe it to my God and I owe it to my wife not to. And I won't, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like people like you that we need is like, governors and senators and congressmen and representatives and sheriffs and school teachers and school board leaders. Because I've been seeing these videos, they've been playing them on Fox, of these school teachers, like the ones with like the spiky hair and the nose rings and the like hair that's like purple and stuff. And I'm like, look, okay, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. Okay. But I'm like, you people who used to talk to children about their genitalia, you used to be called pedophiles.
That's right.
And it was a crime. That's what used to be. But yeah, these are the people teaching our children and stuff. And so it's like parents and just Americans in general being like, nope, we're not going to have that. These children, we're going to protect them. And the government, it's like, we tell you what to do. It's not the other way around.
It's funny, you know, it's not funny you say that, but it's par for the course. It's the stances that I've done and made publicly. There are laws in some states on the books that say you can't do that, but they're not enforced because the schools basically push back and says, what are you going to do to us? And the schools push back and say, what are you going to do to us? Because I believe they're getting this federal funding. So the federal funding is driving the education. What needs to happen, and this is what I propose to happen, is kind of a multi-pronged approach. Number one, you're going to enforce the law. And if you break the law, you will suffer the full consequence of the law. If you teach that stuff in the state, we will take away your state funding or fine you. If the the parents, the money the parents pays for public education should not go to the systems that they don't want to send their kids to. In other words, the money should stay with the parents. Now, the money should not be given to the parents in the form of vouchers, because if it does, then the person who gives the vouchers, it's not going to be long before they say, well, yeah, you can use these vouchers anything you want right now. Now, next year, well, you know, you can use them here within this 1, 2, 3 parent choices. So it's control. The money needs to stay with the kids to the form of probably tax credits, right? And if you do that, you promote a lot of education competition, which is good. And so that's going to cause the standard to be elevated on one hand, and the other standard for the public schools are going to go, okay, either get on board or I'm done. And so when you talk about a competition, if you're getting smoked in that, you either elevate your game or you quit. So I think that's probably a stance that we need to take across the board.
Oh, yeah, because these are our kids and it's our God-given responsibility to protect them, obviously as parents first, but even just as Christians, we're supposed to take care of the little ones. And it's like, because like I said, I don't even have kids, but I'm like, I have my two nieces and stuff. I look at them and all the kids in my neighborhood and I'm like, that's who I'm going to go out and like fight for and protect, because we're supposed to. Because it's like these people who are, like I said, they're pedophiles, even though they may not identify as them. You talk to children about their private parts, you're a pedophile and you should go to jail. But
agreed. I'm with you. It's wrong, Hannah.
That actually, Tucker Carlson brought that up last night. He said, used to people would go to jail for that. And then things happen in there and usually they don't make it out alive. And I'm like, that's not necessarily right. But I'm like, yeah, it's accurate. And that's used to be, you know, what happened, which is funny because people in jail who were in there a lot of times, murderers, like they like awful people, they even view pedophilia as so evil that they will a lot of times, you know, kill these people or severely hurt them in there. And these are people who've murdered, like, but they look at pedophiles as evil. And you're like, that's crazy. And they actually had these people who are in prison have more common sense for like the murderers have like more common sense and know more about this than people running our government. It's like,
well, yeah. Wow. And the street justice, you know, is more justifying than the way we do justice these days. Mm-hmm. And it's the most oddest thing in the world that I'm seeing, you know.
Yeah.
You're right. Many times you a child molester or somebody like that, or a pedophile, he goes to prison, they take care of business.
It's a death sentence usually, even though he's just.
And they all know that, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, I just, you know, it's very sad to me what we've got going on right now. And I just think it, you know, drastic times require drastic measures, require firm stances. And this is where we are right now, you know?
Yep. But Sherwood 2022, new Oklahoma governor. Woo!
I know. I'm going to keep pushing and God's going to take care of it and we win.
Always do. God's always win. We know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. And it's like Satan, he doesn't come out on top in the end.
No, I, you know, honestly, you know, I ask for people to keep us in your prayers because
absolutely.
The battle's tough out there, you know, and it's hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's got, the Lord has energized me on a daily basis and allowed me to have the ability to keep pushing and driving. And it's been a wonderful experience to see his hand at work.
It always is. But yes, oh, always love having you on. I'm like, I'm sure I'll have you back on again to talk about more updates on the campaign trail as we get closer, because really praying that you win. We need more great governors like you. We do.
Well, I appreciate you. And you let me know anytime. You know, I'm at your service. I enjoy coming on with you. So thank you for having me.
Always. All right. Thanks so much, Dr. Sherwood.
Welcome. Have a good day, Hannah.
I called General Flynn. I said, General Flynn, I feel like God wants us to team up to do a Reopen America tour and we get people back to God. And he says, I know. I'm going, you know?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God, you know the thing.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
I believe America is supposed to be that shining city on the hill, the beacon of freedom.
But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
You gotta make sure you tell me your full face.
These vaccines are zero liability.
There's so much fake information.
It's the David and Goliath thing.
Their agenda is not God's agenda.
Why will the churches not stand up?
I'm trying to save America.
I believe we're in the greatest revival in history.
Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.